This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to a new episode of the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jack Franchulli for Wahoos 24/7, and we're previewing Virginia's game against NC State. The Hoos welcomed the Pack on Friday night at Scott Stadium, which will be set to be the return for not only Brennan Armstrong, but also former offensive coordinator Robert and I and former offensive line coach Garrett Tuje. So a lot of reunions happening at Scott Stadium, so plenty of storylines to talk about. So, but before we get going, why don't you go ahead and like this channel, like this video, and click on the bell so that you are notified whenever a new episode happens. And also, why don't you go ahead and leave us a review and rate us wherever you listen to our podcast. So let's start with some of the big storylines coming into the game, specifically right now on the injury front, because honestly, Virginia has been unlucky when it comes to injuries this season. If you look, they're playing a lot of true freshmen, a lot of redshirt freshmen, a lot of guys that probably were going to factor in on the team, either through just playing a couple snaps, through rotation, but most likely towards the end of the season when they get more college experience. But right now, Virginia is leaning on them because of injury. So first off, the quarterback question. Anthony Calandria has stepped up for Tony Musket since Musket was hurt in that opener against Tennessee. He's hurt his shoulder and was day-to-day since that game. Now, as we reported on Wahoo's 24/7, we were given a 2 to 3 week timeline from when he was hurt against Tennessee. When we first heard about the injury and reported it, NC State game was the game we had heard that was the first chance, really, that Tony Musket was going to be able to come back. There was some noise last week from the interviews that the coaches did with the media that maybe Tony Musket was ahead of schedule from what we were interpreting. But again, we had still heard that Anthony Calandria was going to start last week. This week, we are still hearing a little bit more about Anthony Calandria. Obviously, Tony Musket is doing much better. He is participating more in practices. But again, it still wouldn't shock me to see Anthony Calandria starting on Friday night. But again, the possibility is much better for Tony Musket to play against the Pack on Friday night. So another game time decision for Virginia. But again, would not shock me to see true freshman Anthony Calandria go out there. And this would be his fourth game. What does that mean? That means this will be his final game that he can play if he wants to maintain his red shirt. So hypothetically, if Tony Musket can return next week, then Anthony Calandria can't play any more games if he wants to maintain that red shirt. But if he plays one more game, he no longer has a red shirt. So this is the fourth game that he will play. Guys that are out, safety Antonio Clary, that just had a surgery on Monday, and Lex Long, who hurt his foot in that game against Maryland, he's out for this game. They're awaiting MRI towards about Wednesday. They were still awaiting an MRI to see what's going on with his foot, but he is out for the game against NC State. Offensive lineman Jimmy Crist, who came back against JMU, he played a few reps there, did not feature against Maryland, although he did travel. He is also full go and back to practice. Now, with him, because he got hurt so early on in fall camp, that, again, is about conditioning. So he's working back, getting confidence back in his body, in his knee, and then that's something that he's still working on. So Jimmy Crist is available, but, again, he's working back on his confidence and conditionings on the offensive line. Now, Demeek Starling, the big news this week coming from Tony Elliott's press conference is that he is redshirting, which means he will not play for the rest of the year here. And Tony Elliott does not anticipate Demeke Starling being part of the Virginia program next year. He didn't go out and say that Demeke Starling will be transferring, but from his quote, he also said that Demeke Starling believes that his future lies somewhere else, but they will help him graduate and then figure out his future moves after he graduates from the University of Virginia. In this college football world, this is to be expected. If you are at a point where you can still redshirt and preserve your redshirt so that you can have an extra year of eligibility, that's what players are doing right now as they enter into the transfer portal. I mean, NC State is also having that issue right now with their running back deciding that he will redshirt this year. So that was announced on Thursday. So again, this is not something that just happens at Virginia. This is something that happens in college football. So just wanted to say there. But with Demeke Starling out, we saw Dakota Tweedy on the depth chart for the first time this season. Dakota Tweedy came to Virginia last year. He was hurt recovering from a knee injury, so he couldn't feature last year and he redshirted. This year, unfortunately, he had a hamstring injury that he was working back from, but he has now been at practice for a couple of weeks now, and he's earned his spot on the depth chart. In addition to him, J.R. Wilson is another name to watch, and obviously Jaden Gibson and Sadarian Harrison are two other freshmen on that depth chart, and of course Malik Washington and Malachi Fields need no introduction since they have been the two wide receivers with the most production from that unit this season for Virginia. So those are the big personnel, talkers from this week. Sam Westfall, who did not start last game, is available. Malcolm Green had won that position battle for the game against Maryland. Both of them are still have the or on the depth chart. So it kind of is whoever does better at practice and who feels like the one-on-one matchups will get on the field. Freshmen that will also get in the field in the secondary due to all the injuries that they have sustained would be Caleb Hardy, a safety, and Dre Walker at corner. So a lot, like I said, a lot of freshmen. 2-1. So there are a lot of key matchups that we're looking at in this game. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about NC State in the second half of the show when we invite Pac Pride writer Corey Smith to the show so that he can answer a couple of questions about NC State specifically, so we get to know a little bit more about the opponent, about Brendan Armstrong, what he's done on that offense, how Robert and I has changed their offensive scheme, and what he's bringing forth. So those type of questions will be in the second half of the show. But we are also talking about specifically the battles that Virginia will need to do and win in order to get the win at home in NC State and get their first win of the season, their first win in six games since they're on a current six-game losing streak that stretches back to last season. So obviously one of the big things is special teams. NC State has a kick returner named Julian Gray, who is someone to watch when it comes to on special teams. You do not want a special teams error on Friday night. And then obviously Brendan Armstrong is returning to Scott Stadium with a chip on his shoulder. I know he's saying that he's not going to let his emotions get to him. He's going to be out there and just focus on the win the game. But he is going to be a quarterback who's got something to prove at Scott Stadium one more time. And this defense has yet to force a takeaway. They would love to get one. I mean, Cohen King, Chico Bennett, and this is all in just good fun, nothing malicious to it. But these guys are saying Brendan Armstrong won't have that red-orange jersey on, so they're finally allowed to hit him. So a lot of fun times at the press conferences and interviews with the players this week. They're ready to face Brennan, but that is going to be a key matchup. Brennan will most likely throw those tight window throws that Virginia fans are used to. He makes them sometimes, and sometimes they're an interception. You're going to have to take opportunities. You can't just touch the ball and make it a pass breakup. You're going to have to come down with the ball. That could be a difference maker from winning or losing. In my prediction later on, I'm going to have like probably a higher point total for Virginia than a lot of people are predicting, but I am thinking that the defense is going to have an opportunity to score for Virginia because of a forced takeaway. So that is one of my bold predictions that is coming on Friday when I post up my five predictions. So that's one key of the battle, is stopping Brendan Armstrong in the air by forcing a turnover, but also James Jackson, Josh Ahern, their battle to make sure they stop the run. Brendan Armstrong is not just a passer. He can hurt you for legs, something, again, Virginia fans remember, because he was their leading rusher for 2 years. So Brendan Armstrong is going to be a guy that is going to try to run the ball. So it's going to be a tough test for this run defense, who hasn't been consistent in stopping the run this year. And one was the reason why Maryland and JMU were able to come back in the fourth quarter, was because they were able to get that ground attack going in both of those periods. Now, on the other side of the ball, Virginia's offensive line is going to face a tough defensive test with a 3-3-5 from Tony Gibson, their defensive coordinator. That is going to be an interesting battle for the O-line, because obviously the O-line is still a work in progress. So they're going to be able, they are going to have to read those blitzes and have to read where these pressures are coming from. So, and especially if you have Anthony Calandrea under center, a freshman facing this, it's going to be a battle to watch. So, a lot to get through there, but again, these are some of the key matchups for Virginia as you're looking. And of course, you want Virginia to run the ball as well. But again, it's stopping the run, making sure that you don't hurt yourself with pre-snap penalties, turning over the ball, but also making sure your special teams does not give anything away. And then forcing that turnover and hoping that you're able to run the ball and make some good plays on offense. So those are some of the key matchups, but we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to bring Corey Smith to the show from Pack Pride. We're going to talk a little bit about NC State. We'll be right back, and then we'll welcome Corey Smith on the other side.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And welcome back to the Good Old Podcast. I'm Jack Frinchelli for Wahoo's 24/7. And we're going to have Corey Smith joining us from the phone. As I told you earlier, midweek games, it's a little different when we have to do things a little bit kind of rushed and on the road. So, Corey, thank you so much for joining us. I know you were on the road covering some basketball recruiting so for NC State. So I appreciate your time to join us.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you having me on.
I think we should just start with this, Corey. I know everyone wants to know, right? Brennan Armstrong returning to Charlottesville, facing his own team.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocker. So what have you seen from Brennan Armstrong so far in NC State jersey? What has stood out?
Well, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, to put it, you know, the best way possible. I mean, what we saw from this past week was, a guy who completed 87% of his passes and, rushed for some good yardage, but did that against an FCS team. So it's kind of hard to predict whether or not that's, going to be the norm moving forward. I definitely don't think 87% passing is normal for anybody. But, the big thing for him is he's shown, his ability with his legs. He's shown, some good deep passes down the field and completed some of those. But at the same time, as missed some of those shots as well. Had a really, really bad interception in the fourth quarter against Notre Dame. I mean, people see that as a blowout loss for NC State, a 45-24 loss. But what they don't realize is the offense's inability at the end of the third quarter, after the defense got a turnover that could have tied things up at 24-24 at the time, and instead they weren't able to drive the ball down the field, missed the field goal, and then NC State throws, Brennan Armstrong threw for one horrendous interception in the fourth quarter, and then he had a receiver drop one right into the breadbasket for Notre Dame that led to that. So, I think right now, again, like I said, a mixed bag is the best way to categorize it. But, if he's able to translate and his playmakers are able to translate what they did last Saturday, granted against an FCS opponent, I think, that bodes well for them moving forward.
Now, from someone looking from the outside, looking at NC State, looking at the roster, looking at the couple of games, we see Brandon Armstrong and we see a couple young receivers, but we don't really see a focal point to this offense just from, you know, looking at things. Do you, especially a wide receiver at the tight end room, doesn't feel like there's a top target for Brennan at the moment. Is that a fair assessment of where this offense and where the ball, I guess the playmakers are right now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys that they're depending on right now, two of the, you know, the best receivers early on have been true freshmen. When you have a guy like Kevin Concepcion that's been, you know, the guy that they've utilized a lot early on, he's been kind of their, you know, check down normal receiver out of the slot, the guy that, you know, can be a little bit of a safety valve for them. But you know, how much of a safety valve is a guy that's a true freshman that's playing his first games at the college level? We've seen that, you know, be an issue at times. And then, you know, the hope before the season was guys like, you know, Terrell Timmons Jr. and, you know, a guy like Anthony Smith potentially would step up and be, you know, deep downfield threats, and neither one of them have to this point. But then, you know, I think the bright spots have been the fact that a guy like Bradley Rosner over the last couple weeks has caught touchdowns in the red zone. He's a, you know, big body receiver, 6'4". I think he's listed at 6'5", but he even said last week he's actually 6'4". And then you look at, you know, another guy that was able to break out this past week in Julian Gray. He caught a 50-yard pass from Brennan that I believe was, you know, probably 40 to 50 yards through the air. So that was a, you know, a big play for NC State in that sense. So you're seeing other guys step up. It's just, I think the, you know, the positive is the fact that there are so many guys that can make plays. It's just they've, you know, they've all struggled a little bit at times with drops and, you know, not being able to get separation to be able to create those big plays.
Now, on the other side of the ball, this is going to be quite the challenge for Virginia. I feel like, you know, it's all the cliche in college football is talking about how the game will be won in the trenches. And I feel like that's pretty accurate. Defensive line for Virginia is going to have a tough challenge facing Tony Gibson's defense. For NC State, Gibson does a good job of challenging the offense to adapt and trying to decipher what pressure is coming at you. Could you kind of discuss a little bit what makes it a challenging defense to go up against?
Yeah, I mean, Gibson's defense is so difficult to track just because of the fact that, you know, he asks for the absolute best, particularly out of his linebackers. And, you know, they've had multiple guys that have over the last couple of years have been, you know, those go-to guys and Drake Thomas and Isaiah Moore both moving on. But they've had, you know, some good, really good play from Jalen Scott. Devon Betty had one of his best games this past week. And then obviously Peyton Wilson returning and being kind of that, you know, uncaged animal as far as a linebacker is concerned. And sometimes you can control it, sometimes you can't. You never know where he's going to end up. But you always know that he's just a hard-hitting linebacker. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, that's helped this defense this year has been, and I, you know, I sent this over to you and your questions as well, was, you know, this defensive line has been playing at a different level this year. You know, Trevali Price had to start in the UConn game. That wasn't ideal for him, but, you know, it's made him a better player. You saw it this past week. He played really well, again, against an FCS opponent, but he was getting a lot of pressure. And then, you know, Davin Van has really stepped up his game this year. Normally in this system, it's been, you know, the defensive front just, you know, kind of create gaps or eating up double teams in order for the linebackers to be able to blitz the quarterback. And it's been a little bit of the opposite so far, with Davin Van getting after the quarterback. Brandon Cleveland stepped up against Notre Dame and was actually named to the Pro Football Focus Team of the Week because of his play in that one. So there's a lot of guys along this defensive front that I think have made it better. And all of that combined with, you know, two returning starters at the cornerback position and a good safety unit. They lost Jakeem Harris for the season, but they've got some guys back they feel really good about. So there's, you know, a lot of stability there at with the secondary, and I think that only makes it easier for that defensive front to be able to get after quarterbacks and running backs in the backfield.
And I know early on the show we talked about the return of Brennan Armstrong, but he's not the only one who is returning. Robert and I, 2J, a lot of storylines, a lot of Virginia connections in this game. So, one, when you look at this offense, who has new pieces, I mean, obviously Brendan is there, but you also have Robert and I bringing his offensive scheme. You got a new O-line coach. What changes have you seen in the offense? It's going to be, we talked about Brendan, and we even spoke to Brendan about what he believes his first time back at Scott Stadium would be, but it's going to be quite the reception for all those connected to Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as Robert and I's offense is concerned, I think it's still early because, again, like I said, it's figuring out who the playmakers are. Like I talked about Bradley Rosner earlier, he was the guy that didn't even enroll until right before fall camp started. And then you've got two true freshmen that are being asked to, you know, be utilized in large roles. So it's figuring out, you know, how they fit into this offense, what real roles they can play, and how much they can do that. And, you know, I think the biggest thing that we've seen as far as a difference from last year has been the ability to utilize some playmakers that weren't being, you know, that were kind of, pushed down the depth chart last year. One of those in particular, I talked about him earlier, Julian Gray, a guy that, you know, has struggled in the past in terms of, you know, catching the football and, you know, just not being able to get – like, he's such a dynamic player with the ball in his hands. I've said this multiple times. The issue has been getting the ball in his hands. So they've been using him on some sweeps. They've been using him on, you know, trying to get some underneath routes to be able to get him in space. And then, you know, he took, a deep shot down the field last week. He was named the special teams player of the week because he was able to return one kickoff. So if you get the ball in this guy's hands, there's a good chance that he can break one for a big play. But Robert and I have been able to find ways to be able to get him going. And as far as the reception, I don't know. I guess we'll see because that was one of the questions I sent you as far as, you know, trying to figure out what Friday night is going to look like. I think, you know, the reception for him and Brendan Armstrong, I don't know. We'll see how the fans accept them when they get out.
A lot of connections between those two programs on Friday night. But honestly, what I want to know and what UVA fans want to know, when you've watched NC State practice or just, you know, watched them at games, have you seen maybe, you know, Robert and I ask for, I don't know, a throw to a left tackle?
No, not at this point.
All right, that's part of the playbook. I just want to get you that's something that Virginia has seen twice during his career at UVA. So maybe we'll see it in Charlottesville.
The only interesting thing we've seen to this point has been utilizing a guy that typically plays the guard or tackle position. He's been using him as a tight end, so don't be surprised if you see a guy in, I think it's number 46, I believe he's been wearing, is Lennon Cooper. He's a guy that typically plays either guard or tackle, and they've been utilizing him as a big body tight end, but he's not a very good disguise when he's 6'4" and like 300 pounds. So that might be a tight end that you see line up on the left edge there.
Now, like we said earlier, as well, there's so many storylines. I mean, as soon as this game was announced as a possibility for Virginia and as a Friday night game, I mean, the stories just wrote themselves. I mean, Brendan Armstrong back, Robert and I back, 2J back. I mean, this is the first time for Brendan Armstrong to step on the field at Scott Stadium since the November shooting. So he's meant to wear something on his jersey, or he's planning to do something in honor of the three players that were killed in that tragic event last year. So this is still going to be a raw feeling for him coming into this game. When you look at all these storylines and where NC State is right now with their football program heading into this game, what's the vibe like around the pack?
Yeah, I mean, I think the vibe is a positive one for NC State. It's, you know, but it's also kind of a wait and see approach too, where again you feel good about the defense, and again you feel good about, you know, some of the playmakers. But it's you know, the thing for a lot of NC State fans right now is, you know, how are those all going to fit together? Like, is it going to actually work? And you know, we saw it again, you know, against an FCS team this past week, and it's like, hey, I mean, is that ever going to translate against ACC opponents? Are these guys going to be able to step up? Because there were so many unknowns coming into the season, and I think one of the biggest question marks, you know, going into this game is, can they get the run game going? Because they were able to, you know, find success against UConn early on in the season, but you know, a lot of that was Brennan, you know, kind of scrambling out of the pocket and making plays happen. He almost had 100 yards in that game. And then this past week, they had success. Again, it was an SDS opponent, so it's not something that we're like, hey, that's just going to completely translate to the ACC. So I think that's the one of the things that a lot of people are kind of watching for is, can they get the run game going against UVA? And if so, you know, maybe that is something that becomes a little bit more of a balanced offense when they head into, you know, Louisville the following week, which is a home game also on a Friday night. So it's going to be a very telling next 2 weeks for NC State before they play Marshall and then go on the road to Duke. So it's kind of like a, hey, you really got to get ready for everything that's coming up with the next few weeks.
Finally, can't let you leave here without telling me what's your prediction for the game and what are the matchups to look out for if you're NC State?
Yeah, you know, I think this is one NC State wins. You know, the biggest question mark for them as far as injuries are concerned is going to be Dylan McMahon, whether or not he plays in this game. If he doesn't, then they have to go with two backup guards, you know, at both guard positions, because they'll slide Lennon Cooper, who's the starting left guard. They'll slide him over to center if McMahon's not able to play. So that'll be something that I'm watching. But I do think that this offense is able to get going. And, you know, regardless of the quarterback, I think this defense is going to be able to, you know, force some turnovers and really get pressure on UVA in this game. So I think my prediction was somewhere between like 31 or 34 to 17. I do think UVA is able to get something going, you know, very similar to what they've done in the last couple weeks where they get going early on, you know, with some scripted drives. And I think Tony Gibson kind of, you know, makes some adjustments, figures things out on the fly. And that leads to NC State being able to, you know, run away late in this game.
Thanks again for joining us to kind of break down the game. We appreciate it. And of course, you can look at Wahoo's 24/7 and Pack Pride. If you're a 24/7 subscriber, you have access to the entire network. So not only do you get content from Wahoo's 24/7 if you're a Virginia fan, so you keep up to date with all the recruiting and team news, but you also have access to Pack Pride, to what they're saying behind the scenes and behind enemy lines. And that goes with every team that Virginia faces moving forward, like Boston College next week, like North Carolina after the bye week, like Miami. So if you come on Wahoo's 24/7 and you are a subscriber, you have access to the entire network. So again, they do great work at Pack Pride, and they'll have you covered if you're interested in knowing a little bit more of the Pack heading into the game, so you are aware of what Virginia will be facing on Friday night. And of course, we will have you covered on the Virginia angle of all the information coming to you from the game. I will be there again. I'll be full coverage, and I'll also be at Boston College the week after. So we are trying to go really deep with coverage for our football program and also with recruiting as well, since Virginia will host a few visitors on grounds on Friday night. Obviously, the visitor list won't be as large as you would expect on a Saturday game. They're still playing Friday night games if you're in high school. So it's a little bit harder to get a full slate of visitors on a Friday night game. But Virginia does have a number of visitors, including one that wouldn't shock me if Virginia offered. So again, we have that preview again on Wahoo's 24/7. So for Corey, I'm Jackie Franchulli for Wahoo's 24/7, and I hope you guys have a good rest to your week.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.